interrupting the current neo-eucoronial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting, episode BTWRLM 655. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport. So get you behind the woodshed. Figure out whether or not this is really a game changer, as they're telling us. We're back to the future. They said this is not going to go away. You're going to have to learn what you have to learn to protect yourself against these miscreants. Pfizer's new flu shot could be a game changer. Late stage trials shows mRNA vaccine offers better protection against flu than standard shot. A new mRNA-based flu vaccine from Pfizer has shown greater effectiveness than the standard flu shot in a large Phase 3 trial, according to results published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Like we can trust all these folks, remember? The vaccine, they claim, employs the same messenger RNA technology as Pfizer's COVID-19 shot. We'll call it a vaccine there. And experts have long considered flu prevention a logical next step for the platform. No country has yet approved an mRNA flu vaccine, but the trial's results suggest the technology could offer a significant improvement over current options. We ever check those options? Are they really options? Are they just what we're being told? Dr. Buddy Creech of Vanderbilt University Medical Center called the vaccine a potential, quote, game changer, noting that mRNA shots can be manufactured more quickly than traditional flu vaccines. Remember, this is modified gene therapy, and to be a vaccine, there has to be an organic start, an organic organism, a natural one. The mRNA is nothing natural. It's all lab-made. The speed, is it warp speed still? Could allow scientists to more closely match the vaccine to circulating flu strains, which is a key limitation of current flu shots that must be formulated 6 to 8 months in advance. And that's on a guess anyway. So this is the main problem. What are they based on? mRNA, I don't think, has been shown to be based on anything natural at all. And your local communicable disease law will tell you if it's not organic, I guess you should panic, because they're not vaccines. And that's what the whole point about the so-called COVID-19 vaccine was. It wasn't the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine, because that SARS-CoV-2 wasn't an infectious agent. It was a protein string, and it was the poisonous part of the spike from this thing they identified, which is really, I think, and we kind of looked through and I did some studies, and you'd heard me when I sought it, found it out. These were actually venoms. And they package these venom protein strings in a way such that the body can't defend against them. They lipidize them. So this is how they start to do this, and they get this technology in and gives an instruction, actually, on a body organ inside of a cell to replicate itself. And what about all these vaccines? Game changers? Well, an interesting little story comes up from the CDC.gov website. Autisms and vaccines. They've changed their information. Key points. The claim, quote, vaccines do not cause autism, close quote, is not an evidence-based claim because studies have not ruled out the possibility that infant vaccines cause autism. Studies supporting a link have been ignored by health authorities. HHS has launched a comprehensive assessment of the causes of autism, including investigations on plausible biologic mechanisms and potential causal links. And what caused the shift? Pursuant to the Data Quality Act, the DQA, which requires federal agencies to ensure the quality, objectivity, utility, and integrity of information they disseminate to the public, this webpage has been updated because the statement, quote, vaccines do not cause of autism, close quote, is not an evidence-based claim. Scientific studies have not ruled out the possibility that infant vaccines contribute to the development of autism. However, this statement has historically been disseminated by the CDC and other federal health agencies within HHS to prevent vaccine hesitancy. So how many other things have not been scientifically based, yet advised by CDC to have been, or are scientific and science-based, or have affected the decisions of the FDA when they're not science-based? Like the bioweapon jabbed at warp speed, the attack continuing. As we're now hearing, oh, Pfizer, game changer. It's really not a game changer unless you're looking at the type of bioweapon you're disseminating that they got in and didn't get and doesn't suffer that label. Also, what about the attacks against ivermectin and other treatments as not being science-based themselves and notwithstanding the science done or real-world successes? Or the fact that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were WHO, you know, not the rock group or the owl or the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization recognized being the go-to medications for some infectious diseases and for being cheap and effective. Or because the government is shilling for Big Pharma. Or was that Big Pharma? Now, I won't read any more about this admission that the government could care less about you, but if you want to read the current position of the government in its attempt to regain the trust and confidence of the people, please get the link at the Blogcaster to get the rest of the gory details, because you are going to need to know of and then how the government and its corporate operatives have deceived you into the future that they want, or else. Peace and tranquility, truth and justice, right? President Warp Speeder Trump. Just disgraceful, folks. Just disgraceful. UK health agency accused of hiding data that could link COVID vaccine to excess deaths. Now, this was not limited to the CDC. This is a global deception on all sorts of health advice that you might get from the governments. As they cook the books, you're hearing the same stories come through these things as I was doing for you with the great COVID swindle. The UK Health Security Agency is under fire after reportedly refusing to release data that could reveal a potential link between COVID-19 vaccinations and excess deaths. And why would that be? Why would they be something, some vaccination that had excess deaths unless they were a bioweapon? The agency claimed that disclosing the information might cause, quote, distress or anger, close quote, among bereaved families and contribute to the spread of misinformation. What could that possibly be to find out that the government was sending out misinformation and caused the death of your loved ones and now the harm to you ongoing? A cross-party group of members of Parliament has voiced concern over the persistently high excess death rates across the UK and is urging the UKHSA to release the data for independent scrutiny. Well, take note, all this information being withheld by the government to expose the wrongs against their own people. The advocacy group Us for Them, which campaigns for transparency around pandemic policies, submitted a formal request for the data under the Freedom of Information laws, but was denied. UKHSA defended its decision by citing privacy concerns and the potential for individuals to be identified within the data sets. Critics, however, liken the agency's response to the early stages of the infected blood scandal, arguing that withholding the information only deepens public mistrust. Epstein, is that you? Campaigners are calling for the government to release the full data set to Parliament and the public, asserting that the accountability and transparency are essentially to understanding the causes behind the continued rise in excess deaths. Ben Kingsley, the legal director for Us For Them, said the way the UKHSA has handled the cases, quote, reveals a desperation that this data should not, in any form, see the light of day, close quote. He added, it is perverse for UKHSA to argue that this data should not be released because the public could feel distressed or angry if patterns or correlations were to be identified. You have to ask yourself why it is the public are considered incapable of handling data. It reveals a patronizing mindset, which also characterized the pandemic response. Do what we say, don't ask any questions, we know what is best for you. But the CDC correction shows the government and those in the government don't know what is best for you, nor can any of them know what is best for you. Can they? I guess you can hand it to them. And as to a better truth to bring justice to the abuses of the J6 case, former Capitol Police officer, a forensic match for January 6 pipe bomber, source says, quote, are you willing to confirm the pipe bomb's plants at the Capitol Hill Club and the DNC on January 6 couldn't have gone off with the 60-minute kitchen timer if they were placed the day before, Representative Thomas Massey asked. Quote, a computer program that compared the bomb suspect's gait to that of a Shawnee Kirkhoff produced a 94% match. A forensic analysis of a female former U.S. Capitol Police officer's gait is a 94 to 98% match to the unique stride of the long-sought January 6th pipe bomber suspect, according to the Blaze News investigation, confirmed by several intelligence sources. And I want to remind us as we're going through this, I have been reading in the recent past that's the newer technology, AI gait analysis, how you walk, what it looks like when you walk, and compared to files and other biometrics that can identify you just from the way you walk. They don't have to see, you can be completely covered up except for your gait, how you walk, what you do when you walk, and they can identify people. A source close to a congressional investigation of January 6th additionally told Blaze News evidence has emerged recently that pointed toward law enforcement possibly being involved in the planting of the pipe bombs. Who'd have thunk it, folks? A software algorithm that analyzes walking parameters, including flexion, knee bend, hip extension, speed, step length, cadence, and variation, rated Shawnee Ray Kirkhoff, 31 years old, of Alexandria, Virginia, as a 94% match to the pipe bomb suspect shown in the video of January 5th, 2021. The veteran analyst who ran the analysis for Blaze News said that based on visual observations the program can struggle with, he personally pegged the match at closer to 98%. Kirkhoff, who was a Capitol Police officer for 4.5 years, left the department in mid-2021 for a security detail at the Central Intelligence Agency. CIA spokeswoman Liz Lyons stated that the subject worked in the campus security, and Kirkhoff's residences in Alexandria, Virginia, appeared to be under the watch of law enforcement officers on Friday night. A Blaze News editor-in-chief, Christopher Bedford, was pulled over by police after stopping to observe the home. He was then allowed to leave. The FBI, which failed to solve the case in nearly 5 years of investigation, but indicated that it was closing in after Blaze News brought it to the investigation to intelligence sources, was feet from the Falls Church address of the pipe bomber suspect days after January 6th, according to the Blaze News investigation. Let me now bring up the part of the reason why I'm reading this story as well is the FBI failed to solve the case after nearly 5 years is not much different than what we're watching and anticipating with all the release of this information. The government has failed the people to do the investigation, and it should be not even a question that all this information gets released to the public and let the people, not the public, that's the government, but let the people have it to do their own analysis. And I think we would start to see these kinds of things, and I'm not even saying that would put a bad mark on the FBI. They have so many things they can do. They got so many things they can look at once. Sometimes maybe you need someone looking over your shoulder. It's not a bad thing. So this doesn't have to be a negative. But I want to point this out as we have about the Epstein files, the JFK files, the Martin Luther King files, all these evidences that are sitting out there that need to be resolved, need to have a lot more than just a crime solved as well on top of it. And that's why I think this was important to see this story come through. When people have enough information and they're willing to put their time in it, it doesn't cost the government a dime to have people want to find the truth because they'll seek it out. And apparently they're able to get a lot closer, a lot quicker than the government is. Former FBI Special Agent Kyle Serafin realized Friday that he was doing surveillance next door to the woman who was now suspected of being the January 6th pipe bomber. Quote, the FBI puts us one door away from the suspected pipe bomber within days of January 6th, and we were deliberately pulled away for no logical or logically investigative reason, Serafin told Blaze News Friday. Quote, and everything about that tells me that they were involved in a cover-up and have been since day one. As to the gate analysis, the forensic study arranged by Blaze News revealed that Kirchhoff is up to a 98% match to the gate of the pipe bomb subject. The findings were confirmed by several current intelligence sources who reviewed the study results. The source who did the comparison said the software related the match at 94%. He put the figure at a closer to 96 to 98% match, including a combination of human intelligence and software analysis. Samples of Kirchhoff's gate were taken from January 6th Capitol Police CCTV security video and compared to unedited video of the hoodie-wearing suspect walking through an alley near C Street to place an alleged pipe bomb behind the Capitol Hill Club about 8:16 p.m. on January 5th. And I mean, I'm talking about these CCTV cameras. I get to it down the path here. There's some information about these cameras. And remember, we were talking about the flock cameras. These are the same type of things that are watching all of us. And they're claiming this is a big percentage, it's a high percentage of accuracy. As we found out, AI may not be. So I'm tying this, they're saying this is confirmed through the evidence, looks pretty good. But on the street, in the wild, we have to be cautious about where they're getting their video. And part of that is talked about here, about the quality of that video. Two other sources familiar with the gate analysis who viewed the video comparison and the software analysis told Blaze News they concurred but the video samples match the gait of the gray hoodie-wearing suspect. The mystery of the pipe bombs has hung over January 6th for nearly 5 years. The FBI said an unknown subject placed pipe bombs under a park bench at the DNC and the Capitol Hill Club near the Republican National Committee building between 7:54 and 8:16 p.m. the night before the riot. Discovery of the devices between 12:40 and 1:05 p.m. respectively on January 6th drew already depleted police resources away from the Capitol just as a huge, huge crowd breached the grounds at 12:53 p.m. A joint session of Congress convened at 1 p.m. to take up challenges to the certification of the Electoral College vote from the 2020 presidential election. Kirchhoff was a Capitol Police officer from 2018 until mid-2021. She was a member of the department's Civil Disturbance Unit and a training officer on the use of less lethal crowd control weapons that were extensively used on the January 6th crowds. Footage of the pipe bomb suspect walking with a backpack on the night of January 5th was compared to the January 6th security video of Officer Kirchhoff in various places on the Capitol grounds and footage of her playing professional soccer in Columbus, Ohio in 2017. The pipe bomb video that Blaze News used in its analysis was not the footage released by the FBI. A video sleuth who embarked on a more than a year-long investigation told Blaze News the footage made public by the FBI was manipulated to downsample the frame rate. Although shows the same scene as the FBI video, the clip used by Blaze News came from another source and is demonstrably clearer with much smoother motion. The possible solution to the pipe bomb mystery could have far-reaching reverberations. Several officials familiar with the government's investigative efforts said new work is urgently needed to determine whether there were co-conspirators who aided and abetted the crimes, and to learn if federal agencies or employees knew who was involved in the bomb hoax and participated in a nearly five-year cover-up. The FBI has faced questions over its failure to make meaningful investigative progress, despite offering a $490,000 reward with the ATF and with a $10,000 reward from the Metropolitan Police Department. Former FBI Director Christopher Wray claimed that the Bureau conducted an exhaustive investigation. In congressional testimony, Wray said January 6th was an indictment of right-wing domestic violent extremists. In congressional testimony, Wray said January 6th was an indictment of right-wing domestic violent extremists. He said the white supremacy-fueled domestic violent extremism is one of the major threats to the nation. The prospect of Capitol Police officer being the perpetrator, if confirmed, could recast the entire story of January 6th. Well, no duh, you think? I mean, this is the whole point about what some of the evidence has already shown. This hasn't really been a question to anybody that does any studies, and I'm going to tell you, I haven't done that much study, and I can see that problem. So this is big. This is a much bigger problem. And generally, we're watching the government be its corrupt self. And I'm really hoping these stories I say, these things I report, I'm hoping enough people start listening to, if you haven't got it in your mind yet, you really start to understand we live in an occupied territory, and the people that are in government are corrupt everywhere. I don't have the answer for that. I just know that while it's out there, all that animal's out there, you're going to have to learn how to protect yourself, and I found a few ways to at least neutralize the effect of the animal. And until we have more minds working on how to work this out and hit this thing from a lot different places, we're going to be subject to these nonsensical ideas. We're going to be harmed by them. As the government looks like it's an authorita, and it makes it look like it's the authority. It could start to unravel the carefully crafted, zealously defended Democrat narrative that massive crowds of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol as part of an insurrection to keep Trump in office and deny Joseph R. Biden Jr. the presidency. But let's not, I don't get wrapped up in that. Either party will do the same thing, and even if you're not in either party, there are these deceptions and corruptions into the system that will deny people justice or rights or life. And no one really knows about it, and no one can parse it through. At the same time, the FBI was not solving the pipe bomb mystery. It was carrying out the largest investigation in its history to hunt down the thousands of Americans who went to the Capitol after Trump's January 6th speech at the Ellipse. And if you listen to that speech, you know, objectively sit back and listen, he does not order them to go storm the Capitol, certainly not in the way the Democrats had said. So, but then there's a whole lot of reporting behind this. There's a whole lot of information not being told that would have pointed all this out before. And we would have been looking for somebody within the system to pull this off. Why this important information has a more plausible credibility than lots of other pieces of information. The FBI under Wray worked in concert with the Biden Department of Justice to put hundreds of Trump supporters in prison. Gait analysis software can get accurate results even if the subject is walking at a faster than normal speed. It can also recognize gait on video shot from a long distance. It does not require the kind of video resolution needed for facial recognition, the analyst said. The bombing suspect's head was covered by a hoodie and a COVID-19 face mask on January 5th. And Representative Thomas Massie, who was on those hearings, he posted an ex Twitter and claims his statement was, and he reposted it again, I was the only member of Congress to question the FBI Director Wray, ATF Director Dodelbach, and Assistant FBI Director of D.C. Office about the sketchy circumstances around these pipe bombs. Turns out it was every bit as bad as I expected. The rot goes deep. And we'll be touching some more work that Representative Thomas Massie did in a moment. He was in on this. Something about it didn't smell right to him. And it's coming back around to show that his instincts, at least, what he was sensing about what he was watching, wasn't working out. And I have another link here. Well, looks at the report of the blaze in its own investigation. New leaked docs claim forensic evidence ties former Capitol Police officer to January 6th bomber. On January 6, 2021, in the events that unfolded around the Capitol, one of the more concerning aspects was the discovery of two pipe bombs, one near the Democratic National Committee building and another in a Capitol Hill club. And it's been said these look like they were characterized as Acme, Wile E. Coyote bomb-looking things, and they were pretty interesting in their look, big dials and big wires and all. But they weren't from behind the woodshed Acme Research and Development. Don't get that confused. The identity of the person who placed those bombs has not yet been officially released, but one source now claims to have the answer. Blaze Media is reporting that a computer forensic program that identified the January 6, 2020 pipe bomb bomber suspect as a Capitol Police officer. And remember, a Capitol Police officer murdered somebody there. So, I think her name was Ashley. So, it's a big thing going on. A lot of it's being covered up. It's not but for the people out externally looking in, taking evidence as they can find it. Can you imagine how fast this might have happened if they would have had the direct evidence? As they can find evidence, they're still coming up with information much quicker and better than the FBI did. And it's been said that the FBI is where evidence goes to die. Looks like every day that's coming to be true. A forensic analysis of the female former U.S. police, Capitol Police officer's gait is a 94 to 98% match. A close source to the congressional investigation of January 6 additionally told Blaze News that evidence has emerged recently that pointed toward law enforcement possibly being involved in the planting of the pipe bombs. Now, that is another piece of information. It says it was a couple of hours after they were told that they even got involved, the Secret Service, the guy even got involved to start even looking, as if they sort of knew. But that's, again, to be found out. So they go through the analysis again, restating the software analysis was arranged by Blaze News. There's a lot of ifs here, they say, that by their analysis, but this is reportedly how that software works. And they will go back through the discussion of the algorithm. And so I'm, again, saying this because someone else looked at this and we want to point out maybe there's a little bit of weakness here and there. We don't want to condemn someone that's innocent for sure, but anything that looks like it's going to be dead on, we want to be able to pick it out and start to learn what is being done. And because we understand that they're utilizing this, as I told you in a prior report, pretty soon might be less intrusive, but they're going to start trying to pick people up by how they walk. And I'm still not thrilled by the artificial intelligence generally to say that it's accurate, because we're finding out that it's not. And to a great degree, it's not. So this is part of this looking through these couple of stories. What are people looking as limitations to this report and investigation? What holds up? And what do they refer to as well? And so I'm saying let's extend that too, because the government's going to be using these here pretty soon if they're not already using it. As we hear, and we will hear today, what's going on with the requirement to do other types of biometrics. But my thought is, well, if you already got me walking, then why do you need anything anyway as well? So the piece, the Blaze piece claims that Kirchhoff worked at the campus security in the CIA. Her current employment status is unclear, and yet another report said it is at the CIA. So not sure if it's in the same place. So this reporter on this article concludes, this report is chock full of if, but consider the implications if it's correct. A serving Capitol Police officer engaged in an act of political terrorism in the nation's capital on the day when a new president is being officially confirmed by Electoral College. That's kind of a big deal. As of this writing, the FBI and the Secret Service have not commented on this story and the claims made about the bomber's identity. And so, part of me, again, as I read these, I'm not interested in the Electoral College. I'm not interested in the voting. I'm not interested in all that, but a lot of people are. And so if you're going to engage that, then there's a way to engage it and to try and make yourself a force to be reckoned with within that system. It's not something that I'm interested in myself, but here we have, it was used, that system, that part of the system was used against people. And so it's for us to understand a comprehensive have a comprehensive understanding of what's out there to come against us if we're going to be doing any actions relative to defending ourselves against these major corruptions. But I wonder how the public records decision relative to the judge saying that flock cameras are public records is going to affect this little story here. U.S. gives local police a face scanning app similar to one used by ICE agents. And I want to keep this theme coming along week after week. We're seeing how much the Department of Homeland Security, and remember where that originates from, together with the ICE, going supposedly after immigrants, now expanding its net to United States citizens. And we heard, I think last week it was, last episode, they're claiming that you can't escape them. They're going to get your face. They're going to get their biometrics. Now, this here story before, we hear that even they can just get your walking. I don't understand why they don't do that. But here we have local police are taking federal agents' program, federal agencies' programming, and handing them to the locals. For U.S. Customs and Border Protection launched a face scanning app for local law enforcement agencies that assist the federal government with immigration enforcement operations. Now, this is particular to immigration enforcement. There would have to be an agreement for this with your local sheriff and your local municipality. So that's one thing you might want to go focus on. And how the heck do they know that ahead of time when they're using this? It is a problem for the locals. I think no different than when we find out that the government using cameras, that all that information is available through a FOIA request. The mobile identity app was released on the Google Play Store on October 30th. Quote, this app facilitates functions authorized by Section 287G of the Immigration and Nationality Act, INA, a law, U.S. law that lets Immigration and Customs Enforcement delegate immigration officer duties to state and local law enforcement, according to the mobile app's identity description of the Google Play Store. So understand how this works. Now, I've talked about this years and years ago. About you have to, the sheriffs have to agree to all this and be engaged, and you have a say about some of that, or you don't, depending on your sheriff. And this is how the usurpers got us. They said, well, if you're consenting and you're voting, then you're part of it, and we get to do all this if you can't stop us. And anyway, we're going to do it the way we want to until you stop us. So they are enforcing your local law enforcement, state enforcement is enforcing federal law. And that's probably tied to the money they get. Quote, through a formal agreement or a memorandum of agreement, the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, participating agencies like your sheriff's office can have a designated officer who are trained, certified, and authorized to perform certain immigration enforcement functions, helping to identify and process individuals who may be in the country unlawfully. This tool is built to streamline those responsibilities securely and efficiently, directly in the field. A screenshot of the app on the Google Play listing shows it requires a camera access, quote, to take photos of subjects, close quote. More information on how it works was reportedly in today's 404 Media report. A source with knowledge of the app told 404 Media the app doesn't return names after a face search. Instead, it tells officers to contact ICE and provides a reference number or to not detain the person depending on the result. And remember, we heard a little bit about how these apps actually work. And we've heard that they are wrong a lot of times. 404 Media said it downloaded the app and decompiled the code. And it's finding that, quote, multiple parts of the app's code make clear references to scanning faces. The app is similar to one used by ICE agents. ICE agents themselves already use a face scanning app called Mobile Fortify. That's what I've already reported on. This is the follow-up on that. There's one for your local officials. Again, when you hear about the databases and the biometric databases that are being built right now, this is right down to where you live. This is not somewhere else. This is not out there or across some border. Democrat senators urged ICE to stop using Mobile Fortify in a September letter that also criticized ICE for expanding its delegation of authority to local law enforcement. Something that they allowed, apparently, in the delegation authority that hasn't been challenged. And I've seen a lot of times that there's only a very small, short or small step that they can actually delegate certain authorities, and all that has to be challenged. So those of you that are out there and want to try some, maybe look into this part of it as well. But all they did was urge, folks. They didn't just like come together and say, we're going to stop this. No, we're not going to do that. The mobile identity app for local law enforcement is apparently similar to the mobile Fortify app used by ICE agents. When contacted by ARS today about mobile identity, and CBP responded with a statement that discusses mobile Fortify and its uses of facial recognition. The CBP statement said that mobile Fortify processes photos through the Traveler Verification Service, or TVS, a facial comparison matching service that the CBP said does not store biometric data. The CBP said it built the mobile Fortify app to support ICE operations and that ICE has used it around the country. But when we looked at that biometric data, it is stored for a long time. And if they misidentify you, it's stored even longer because you're in a wrong status. 404 Media quoted Cooper Quinton, senior staff technologist at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, as saying that, the face surveillance in general, and this tool specifically, was already a dangerous infringement on civil liberties when in the hands of the ICE agents. Putting a powerful surveillance tool like this in the hands of state and local enforcement officials around the country will only further erode people's Fourth Amendment rights for citizens and non-citizens alike. And remember, you want to say non-citizens, I'll boot them out. There's persons, they call them persons, that are in a status, and they do have rights, just like everybody else in America. Not all of them, but a lot do. And again, if they're going to deny it to those, even though the Constitution would allow it, they don't say citizen, it says person. That opens it up. So you got to go with that, and I'm all for that. Why not? I haven't seen that when this stuff works, that it works bad. We've been bringing people into this country for decade after decade after decade. Most people here are that. And yet all of a sudden it seems to be a big problem. And when you see the government handle its own problem, you see what they're starting to do, lock everybody down. Again, they create the problem to create the solution that they want. So this will further erode due process. This is what Trump's stomping all over. And his ICE agents now. And subject even more Americans to omnipresent surveillance and unjust detainment. And we're hearing plenty of evidence of that already. Before this going. But the Senate only urges them not to use that. And the FBI comes up. Guess they got a little bit of time here to say something about this too. They can't find the bomber, but it's okay. Blaze investigation might have done it for him. Maybe we don't need the FBI anymore that way. FBI warns of criminals posing as ICE agents, urges agents to identify themselves. So you watch how this, there's a reasoning behind why officers are supposed to be present and known and seen from afar. There's a whole studies about that in case law about it as well. The police should identify themselves. No, these guys come up and want to be hoodlums themselves. That's who they really are. And the FBI is warning, wait a minute, when you started doing that, unscrupulous people, even more unscrupulous than you, are taking advantage of other people. Criminals posing as U.S. immigration officers have carried out robberies, kidnappings, and sexual assaults in several states, warns a law enforcement bulletin issued last month by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So now you see this is down happening in the states, right where this state app is going to be to make it look even more official. And you can't run from, you can't deny them, you can't opt out? I don't think so. So if someone is looking at this, pull all these things together and find the nice, solid argument against them continuing these types of processes. Because they didn't maintain their lane, like I said. They didn't keep in their lane. They never intended to, actually. The Bureau urges agency, just urging, everyone just urging. The Bureau urges, we got an urge. The Bureau urges agencies to ensure officers clearly identify themselves and to cooperate when civilians ask to verify an officer's identity, including by allowing calls to a police precinct. I wish some local jurisdictions would understand this. You ask for their identity. I think I'm seeing more videos where that's coming up. They're just giving up their identity now. It used to be they'd fight you over it, get you in trouble for asking. So the FBI's coming out saying, you know, officers need to identify themselves. I thought in the day that wasn't even a question. Quote, ensure law enforcement personnel adequately identify themselves during operations and cooperate with individuals who request further verification, it says. First reported by Wired, the bulletin cites 5 2025 incidents among fake immigration officers and says criminals are using Immigration and Customs Enforcement's heightened profile to target vulnerable communities, making it harder for Americans to distinguish between lawful officers and the imposters while eroding trust in law enforcement. And I want to see that, and I want to remind us, just because they are an ICE officer and they are the ICE officer doesn't mean they have authority where you might be concerned. Now, they're going to beat you up over that question, but that doesn't mean that they're right. And this is the problem with the prison we live in. Until we get this thing flipped around the other way, where the presumption is not on the government's right just because, and they really do have to present at least a plausible, probable cause, or the standard that they have to use for whatever they're doing, we're going to have these problems. They will show up and they say, well, I'm they're authorita. You can challenge that until they show that they are the authority. And this has been missing now for probably over a decade, I've been watching. A review of public reporting confirms 4 of the 5 cases described in the bulletin. One appears to have gone unreported, suggesting the FBI drew in part on internal law enforcement information. The document was first obtained by the transparency nonprofit Property of the People. On August 7th, according to the FBI, 3 men in black vests entered a New York restaurant claiming to be ICE agents. Inside, they tied a worker's hands and pulled a garbage bag over the person's head. Another, believing the burglar's story, surrendered themselves, only to be kicked to the ground and tied up as the intruders robbed an ATM. The Bureau's advisory urges agencies at every level of government to coordinate to, quote, verify legitimate versus non-legitimate operations attributed to ICE, a call that frames the wave of impersonations as a national law enforcement concern. And I would suggest all operations, not just any, all must be legitimate. The FBI declined to comment. Its national press office said that it could only respond to media inquiries involving national security, violations of federal law, or essential public safety functions during the government shutdown. Cases cited by its advisories span kidnapping, street crime, sexual violence. In Bay County, Florida, the advisory says a woman unzipped her jacket and revealed a shirt that said ICE and told her ex-boyfriend's wife she was there to pick her up before driving her to an apartment complex. The woman later escaped. In Brooklyn, it alleges that a man told a woman he was an immigration officer and directed her to the nearby stairwell where he punched her, tried to rape her, and stole her phone before police caught him. In Raleigh, North Carolina, it claims a man entered a motel room and threatened to deport the woman if she did not have sex with him, telling her he was a sworn officer. He showed her a business card with a badge, police said. The FBI describes a few signs of impersonation, forged and mismatched credentials, outdated protective gear, and cloned vehicle markings. So boy, do we have to keep our observation skills up, don't we? That's why you really have to ask them, and why it should have never been a question to get the proper response when you try to identify them. And I don't mean just because they say I'm an officer and here's my business card. They have to have the right business and the right paperwork there too, which means we should know that. And it's really our excuse. There's no excuse for our ignorance of what we should be looking for. I'm not saying do something stupid, but I'm saying that we can at least have a statement to try. Well, always have your, I need an attorney to talk with you anymore and just remain silent. Probably be your best job. But if you're trying to identify them, you want to qualify everything you can before you agree that they're even an officer, let alone the next step, are you here lawfully before me? It's urging agencies to launch outreach programs aimed at identifying fake ICE agents, a step the FBI argues could counteract the mistrust caused by impersonators and strengthen the law enforcement's image, which is the all-important thing. Trust and their image. See, it doesn't matter the substance of what they do. Well, it doesn't when they get caught, and not many of us kind of know to do that, or how to, or when we try, the system's there to heal itself of its problems. Drivers, Border Patrol is watching you very carefully. Predictive intelligence setup monitors millions nationwide for suspicious travel patterns. Now, getting into the gait, how you walk, and then they attach, well, what's suspicious? This is even now, how you move about the country on your roads. U.S. Border Patrol is monitoring millions of American drivers nationwide in a secretive program to identify and detain people whose travel patterns it deems suspicious. And I'll read that again. Travel patterns it deems suspicious, as I've said over and over. You may not think you're doing any wrong. It's the guy or gal looking at you that thinks that you're doing wrong that's the problem. The predictive intelligence program has resulted in people being stopped, searched, and in some cases, arrested. A network of cameras scans and records vehicle license plate information, and an algorithm flags vehicles deemed suspicious based on where they came from, where they were going, and which route they took. Remember this part right here. A network of cameras scan records and license plate information. Federal agents may then flag local law enforcement. And if you see all these apps are integrated, now you can see potentially the problem they're bringing you into a problem. You're vulnerable to now the intersection of all these apps that they're all running. The drivers may then find themselves pulled over, often for reasons such as speeding, failure to signal, or even a dangling air freshener blocking the driver's view. The drivers are then aggressively questioned and searched. The AP investigation was based on interviews with 8 former government officials with direct knowledge of the program, as well as dozens of federal, state, and local officials, attorneys, and privacy experts. The AP also reviewed thousands of pages of court and government documents, state grant and law enforcement data, and arrests reports. So there's your real connection from the federal to the state. These grants is where this connection really gets a nice hold. And there's a law, you'll probably find a law just about any state statute that where federal funds are needed, federal law prevails. Or state law is good where it doesn't argue with the federal needs. And that's all because of this money. There's attachments to all of it. The Border Patrol has for years hidden details of its license plate reader program, trying to keep any mention of the program out of the court documents and police reports, former officials say, even going so far as to propose dropping charges rather than risk revealing any details about the placement and use of their covert license plate readers, which may very well be every cop car in the country, which may be all these flock and ring cameras that you have on your doors and your poles and anything else, right? It's all sitting there for them to hoover up. The Border Patrol has defined its own criteria for which drivers' behavior should be deemed suspicious or tied to drug or human trafficking, stopping people for anything from driving on backcountry roads to being in the rental car or making short trips to the border regions. I'm just pausing. Backcountry roads is sufficient? Where most of us live, I know about. Short trips? Like, how short? Down to the store and back? Down to the next town because that's where the store is and back? We don't know. They just make this stuff up. And no one can challenge it or has challenged it. I can say can challenge it. I think everybody can challenge it if you just have the right premise. The agency's network of cameras now extends along the southern border in Texas, Arizona, and California. It also monitors drivers traveling near the U.S.-Canadian border. And again, remember, it wouldn't be much to also tap into every port, because that's a border, if you will, for the purposes of their agency. The Border Patrol's parent agency, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, says it uses license plate readers to help identify threats and disrupt criminal networks and is governed by a stringent multi-layer policy framework to ensure the technology is applied responsibly and clearly defined security purposes. Trust me, bro. Now, remind you, Patriot Act, P-A-I-T-R-I-T Act, said that you're all criminals, so figure that one out. And what's not reasonable relative to their enforcement? And moving more closely into what they're doing here with getting IDs. Possible next step for real IDs, charge $18 for those without. New rule would use biometric kiosks to verify identity at airports for passengers lacking proper identification. Did you hear that, folks? Even though you don't have it, they're going to get it. Biometric kiosks. They are going to take your biometric information. Air travelers who show up at airport security without real ID, R-E-A-L-I-D, or passport could soon face an $18 fee to verify their identity under a new Transportation Security Administration proposal. And so that's a should be a little flag for everybody that this is a proposal of an agency. There's going to be a hearing and there's comments. Maybe time to sharpen your pencils. Lick a stamp. Just get involved. Under the proposed rule published in the Federal Register on Thursday, there it is. Go find it. Federal Register for this rule. It'll tell you how to what they're looking for and how to respond and where to respond to. Travelers lacking the necessary ID will have their identity confirmed using a new biometric kiosk system before being allowed through security. Again, what happened to the presumption of innocence? What happened to the being free from compelled associations and a bunch of other things? No one's challenging all this. What about being free to move about the country? The TSA didn't provide a timeline for when the new fee, which is intended to help cover the new technology, might be implemented. Well, I don't want the technology, so it should be free, right? And what if I don't have that $18? The announcement, you might laugh. Maybe people shouldn't have the $18. Maybe you just shouldn't have any of it. The announcement begins a public comment period on the proposed rule. There it is. As I was saying, it's your turn to step up. And even if you're not interested in some of this stuff, the fact that they're tracking and tracing and charging you when they can't and forcing you into that same information anyway should have put the hair on the back of your neck a little bit, stand up. The Real ID Act, originally passed by Congress in 2005 after the 9/11 attacks, finally began enforcement for domestic air travel in May after years of delay. So there you are. The PATRT Act says you're a misdemeanant. You're just waiting to be caught. We need to identify you every step of the way. And we need more and more and more to be able to do that. For us to do it quicker, 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 no matter what length of time it takes for you and the inconvenience, even that, it's so convenient. But you don't do as we say, you're going to pay. And I look at that and say, you're just charging me $18 for something I don't get from you? How do I pay with something you aren't paying me with? A TSA spokesman described the proposed fee as a next step in the Real ID compliance process. So they're forcing you in the compliance process anyway, aren't they? Noting the additional guidance will be provided in the near future. Oh yeah, we'll read the law, when we get there. Under the new system, travelers arriving at TSA checkpoints without Real ID or passport would have their identity verified using a modernized alternative identity verification program, which relies on biometric and biographical information. How is it alternative when it's the same identical information? Because they say so? It's in a separate file system in the same computer? They have a different name on the program? However, TSA warns that using this alternative process doesn't guarantee a traveler's identity will be verified. or that they'll be allowed through security. Passengers opting for the alternative process may be subject to additional screening and delays. Not so convenient and easy if you don't comply, is it? The $18 fee is non-refundable and valid for 10 days. Remember, we got the 3-minute city, right? Well, you got the 10-day travel permit. That's it. For 10 days, meaning travelers who take multiple trips within that window would pay only one price. Your time is not your own. The TSA argues that the new system will help reduce wait times and streamline the security process. How does it reduce wait times when you aren't guaranteed verification, first of all, or that when you don't have it, you now have to stop in order to give your information before you can continue? How does that reduce those wait times? It's not made to reduce those wait times. It's made there to threaten you that if you don't get the real ID, that you could be sitting there and sitting there and sitting there while they decide and twiddle their thumbs and figure out what you are going to do, because they presume you to be a criminal and can't quite figure out how. The proposal will likely rankle those who've been avoiding getting a real ID due to the extra cost. Notice they don't do the purpose, right? They don't do the underlying problem with the real ID. Just that it's going to cost more. I don't want to do it. No, that's not the reason why people are not doing that. Quote, I already have a real ID, so I don't think it would impact me, one traveler tells Action News. But for others, I think that could hinder them, especially with the fee. Not everyone is against the idea, though. I do think it makes sense, another traveler tells the outlet. Quote, only because it's so easy to get a driver's license, and they last for a really long time. Is the intelligence of the type of people you're dealing with in the response to this story? You have no clue what's going on, and if you look at your driver's license, what if you don't have to get a driver's license? What if you're not a driver? What if the identity card is a non-driver driver's license, and you don't want to have anything to do with the state? What if you just want to be free of all this nonsense? It's not in the minds of Americans, I can tell you that, at least the most of them. Now, what about those public-facing cameras to do gate analysis on? Judge rules flock surveillance images are public records that can be requested by anyone. Now, listen very carefully what goes on. Most of this unintended response that happens almost immediately. And so we might want to look at those of us that are trying to figure out ways to make inroads to reduce, knock this down or knock it out. This is a very interesting little situation. We hear the ICE is using all this information, the pictures, the biometrics, making it public. Judge rules flock surveillance images are public records that can be requested by anyone, like through a Freedom of Information Act on the federal side or information. Open records request for the state side. Some people don't like doing it. I don't mind doing it at all, just to see. And you can set them up for frauds as well. They'll do frauds all the time. I've explained what happened I did with the United States Forest Service. You set them up, and they do what they're going to do. They're just a beast. And they do what they do, and you catch them, and then they give you information anyway. So this is interesting, because what happens? Look at the government now. The government now sits liable to these records requests and have to handle them. And they're already taking measures to not give you the information. So this is going to put even more pressure on them, which another group of people, they're interested to be able to attack all this. If we could just get people together and start looking at the dysfunction, I guess it is, for those of us that want to make sure that justice prevails in the fact of government just starts doing what it's supposed to do, stops getting out of our lives so that we don't have to interact with them. We're not in that day, so we've got problems. A judge in Washington has ruled the police images taken by Flock's AI license plate scanning cameras, is that you, Border Patrol? Are public records that can be requested as part of a normal public records request. The decision highlights the sheer volume of technology-fueled surveillance state in the United States and shows that at least in some cases, police cannot withhold the data collected by its surveillance systems. In a ruling last week, Judge Elizabeth Niedwitzki, is that how you pronounce it? Niedwitzki, really? ruled that, quote, the flock images generated by the flock cameras located in Stanwood and Cedro Woolley, Washington, are public records under the Washington State Public Records Act, that they are not exempt from disclosure, and that an agency does not have to possess a record for that record to be subject to the Public Records Act. She further found that flock camera images are created and used to further a government purpose, and that the images on them are public records because they are paid for by taxpayers. Despite this, the records that were requested as part of the case will not be released because the city automatically deleted them after 30 days. So those of you that know the rules about this, you know you're supposed to get in really quickly when you want information and get the information requested, and then this doesn't hold. But here's your couple things you'll have to talk about in this article. The flock images are created for a governmental purpose is one of them. And I found this fascinating. And almost immediately, a judge's decision just made cities panic over what their cameras recorded. After a civil case resulted in the images recorded by flock cameras being classified as public data, two cities in Washington turned them off. And I understand now it's five cities and growing. And the way this was a state of Oregon citizen, if you will, sued in Washington, and it had already been coming down in Oregon that cities were taking these cameras out before this even started to happen. So there's been a real problem, and it took a few people to step up, go to their governments and say stop it, and a couple people to go to court. And we're starting to see a little bit more light at the end of the tunnel on this. Across the United States, thousands of automated license plate readers. Border Patrol, is that you? Thousands of automated license plate readers quietly watch the roads. Some ride along in police cruisers and others perch on telephone poles or hang over intersections, clicking away as cars glide past. They record everything in sight, regardless of who's behind the wheel. In its vast, largely invisible network, one that most people never think twice about until it makes the news, well, it's turns out that those pictures are public data, according to a judge's recent ruling, and almost as soon as the decision landed, local officials scrambled to shut the cameras down. What sparked the case? The ruling stems from a civil case involving the Washington City's Cedro Woolley and Stanwood, both sued to block public records requests filed by Oregon resident Jose Rodriguez. He works in Walla Walla and sought to access the images as part of a broader inquiry into government surveillance. Judge Elizabeth Yost Midwiski sided with Rodriguez, concluding that the data do qualify as public records subject to the Public Records Act. The decision immediately led both cities to deactivate their flock systems. Flock cameras are mounted along public roadways and continuously photograph passing vehicles, including occupants, regardless of whether any crime is suspected. Ultimately, the judge ruled that because there were so many photos, which are largely disconnected from active criminal investigations, they had to be released under state law. Rodriguez's attorney, Tim Hall, said the ruling highlights how little oversight exists. Hall noted the flock software extends beyond simple plate recognition and is capable of identifying vehicles through model details, dents, bumper stickers, the roof racks. Attorneys for the city said that they will reveal the decision before determining whether to appeal. For now, their flock cameras aren't coming back online. And so I say thank you, Jose Rodriguez, for not being a spectator to the crime against you and all of us. This is BTWRLM 655. And so if you thought that the system was going to protect us, so we can see there again, it's not going to. No, it just brings the cameras in. It has no thought. Brings the cameras in, has no thought about whether or not it might violate us. Just something for them. Makes it more efficient for them and their security, right? Public security. Not yours. And this is where we start seeing the failures of the system, and it has no accountability. And then we get into the situations going on these last few weeks, a few months now, actually, and we start seeing people within the government calling each other names and when things aren't going their way, when they should be turning to the system that's failed us and trying to fix that. And part of this is this records disclosure information problem and how hard the government fights not to hand it out. Remember that last lawsuit for those cameras was because two cities said, I don't want to give you this information. Why? I couldn't tell you. And a judge said, no, you have to. It's public information paid for by public taxpayers and does a public function. How do you like that? And this is what almost what I was saying about all this other information. The agencies don't solve the crime, if you will. It's time to give the information over to the public, see if the public has any ideas, and stop this infighting. But no, we're going to get this from the infighters, and this gives us an indication that the system, what's going on is not really set up for justice, peace, tranquility, the American way. They can't make America great again. As we hear, Trump called Marjorie Taylor Greene a traitor and disgraced the Republican Party. So this is a guy that almost demands complete complicity with what his ideas are. And he'll come after you and attack you and even drone you if you don't like it. But the U.S. president continues to lose his most prominent supporters who provided him with nuclear support during the presidential election in 2024. After the departure from the political scene of Elon Musk, who began to criticize Trump for departing from his election promises, the famous congresswoman from the Republican Party, Marjorie Taylor Greene, became the next character on the way out. We have the Kabuki Theater here, right? But seriously, on this, and for those of you that, again, believe in this process, these people can do some things, it's just we notice that they don't. And then we see that when there's something that wants to be done, that needs to be done, it gets attacked from within the system, and we still don't get what we want. What we need, actually, not just what we want, we need to understand the corruption within the system. That's been my focus, not all this bickering that goes on. I could care less about it. I could care less of these characters on the stage. But here we have the next character on the stage on the way out now of this Trump saga. It is own True Social Network. He called Greene a traitor and a disgrace to the Republican Party. And this statement was the culmination of their open split. Trump claims that Greene has lost her way because of criticism of his foreign and economic policies, and hinted that he is all ready to support her rival in a primary congressional elections. The head of the White House claims that his former colleague has noticeably shifted to the left in her political views. Now, listen very carefully. I really don't want to make these reports, but this is critical to understand who we might be dealing with in this guy. And this happens even locally, where they claim you do stuff that you're not, to take you out of your authority and your position and cause a doubt upon you. And watching how this guy's he's a master at how to do this. He's a thug. He's a master at how he does this, but we can see through that, and a lot of people are. I'm not saying we're going to only hear this behind a woodshed. We see this, we read their character, but we also need to protect and understand that we maybe have to protect ourselves when some people come after us and attack us because we're not going to be that spectator. We're going to get involved. We're going to protect ourselves. Let me say, like when the government comes in, or the FBI or the local cop says, oh, you're a sovereign citizen. This is that technique. So Trump is really good at this. It's apparently not so good at actually solving problems. But he'll blame others for not engaging with the problems and the nonsense that he's going to create, that he creates, that he causes. Trump described Greene as another fake politician, stressing that her position poses a threat to Republican unity. And let me also offer, Republican, that's just a party, it's political, there's only two, the Uniparty. If it's a threat to them, maybe it's good for the people, right? And I'm not saying that she is. We would have to look at what she's doing. What I'm saying is that that's what this guy does. He's now speaking for the Republican Party, not for Americans. To the credit of Marjorie herself, it should be said that she is standing by her previous position and often criticized Trump lately, including for her policy on Ukraine. The congresswoman, as with Biden, urges to stop supporting Zelensky. In addition, Greene accuses Trump of lying and also that he is trying to prevent her initiative to publish materials in the case of Jeffrey Epstein. She also said that Trump and his team got too carried away with the international agenda and forgot about the needs of Americans. And with that statement by Trump, and this is not a guy you're going to Again, he's got a lot of influence. I'm not going to say he doesn't, even when it's wrong. And this inspires people to do things, even against him, we've heard, but in support of him, that may not be actually right. Marjorie Taylor Greene claims she's under coordinated harassment after Trump's public attacks. Marjorie Taylor Greene says hoax pizza deliveries and even a pipe bomb threat were directed at her home and business following Trump's calling her a traitor. In her statement, she warns Trump's rhetoric has put blood in the water, accusing him, Mark Levin, and pro-Trump activists of inciting danger ahead of the Epstein Files vote. She compares the new wave of harassment to past swatting and threats she received when defending Trump, but this time, she says, it's coming from his own supporters. And so listen carefully as I'm reporting on this. You should know this is old news. I'm bringing it up, trying to bring us up to date through a sequence of steps. But they're got the system. We're infighting now. In this, we're talking about, remember, they're promoting civil war. I haven't heard too much of that lately as a nice big drumbeat. They kind of dropped that down. But now we're actually seeing infighting now happening. And this is, again, we can't. The way I look at it, there's no way that people are going to get together to defend themselves against the system that continues to do the things that we hear. We just heard ICE is doing, Department of Homeland Security is doing, Border Patrol is doing, in making an integrated system of surveillance and war, tracking and control, most importantly. Well, no, you're not going to get on that flight until you give us everything we need because you don't like real ID. Why is it you don't like real ID? Now, give us the same stuff that you won't give us with real ID. Or you ain't going. Comply or don't fly. How's that? Comply, essentially, or die. You don't have the mark, you're not going to get your stuff. And the story in the saga continues of the attack, internal attack. He is signaling what must be done to a traitor. So anybody understand Marjorie Taylor Greene? I've never seen that she's a traitor. You look, she is not fighting against the government. She's only resisting Trump's, in my opinion, stupidity, S-T-O-P-I-D-I-T. He's not too clear right now. Somehow he's shifted as well. I've been hoping, you know, hopium springs eternal, I guess. But it ain't happening. And we saw that. I reported that would happen. He could go the right way, but he's not. Don't know really what's caused on all this, but people, not everybody's going to bow to him. Marjorie Taylor Greene has happened to be one of the ladies that does that. This was sparked by the victims of Epstein. So she's internally committed to this. But she's now called a traitor. And she says that now this is a signal to people. We're back to infighting. And this, again, for us as we the people, we can't allow the Pavlovian bell to ring that we start drooling. We can't, because someone says they're a traitor, think that's the fact and go attack people. And I don't want to go too more deep into the same. It's like Charlie Kirk. It's like any assassination attempt for someone who just speaks their mind. In my view, and I think maybe she hasn't said that, but says this, but this is not much of a different matter. You call someone a traitor and they should die is the implication, at least. And this is what starts to get picked up. President Trump's unwarranted and vicious attacks against me were a dog whistle to dangerous radicals that could lead to serious attacks on me and my family, Representative Major Marjorie Taylor Greene said on X, slamming Trump's reckless behavior. And again, the same behavior that Trump would claim against, that is wrong against him, he's now doing to other people. Hoax delivery pizzas have now started to my house. We have also received a pipe bomb threat, Greene wrote, describing that Trump's rhetoric has led to that. And MTG exposes Trump's lies about her. Quote, that is untrue what he said. I don't know if he's being fed wrong information, but it is absolutely factually not true, nor have I called him. The White House logs would prove that. His own cell phone records would prove that. And I have not been calling the president, but I did post the messages that I had sent him, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene told CNN. And so I want to highlight a little bit extra. He may be being fed the wrong information. Is he? And this has been my question about Trump this whole time. He's either really not too intelligent, or he has seriously bad advisors, or he doesn't care. He doesn't care to go look. Or he's just one of those guys that looks for any in order to make it sound, because he knows that if he digs you, he knows how to call you a name that sticks. For him, it must have worked in his past, and so now that's how he operates. Doesn't mean it's right. And it's really not, in my mind, the President of the United States shouldn't stoop to doing that. He doesn't have to. He's a very powerful office to do things. If he's got the power, he doesn't have to stoop at all. Or be stupid. C-S-T-O-O-P-I-D. See how that works? Major MAGA ally apologizes for toxic role in politics. So then the attack gets Marjorie Taylor Greene thinking, rethinking her position, and she's going to tell us some things. And I appreciated this from her. Now, I've sent her some information. They never respond back to me. I can assure you that it's not frivolous things I'm asking about. It's not frivolous things I tell them about. Things that they don't apparently know because they don't talk about, and they don't use it as a foundation, and I'll suggest it. I'll ask questions based on that. They don't respond. So I'm not saying I'm a supporter necessarily. What I'm saying is we have an internal dynamic going on that's tearing our situation up that makes it much more difficult for we the people to get together to solve the problems that we're watching government not be able to, and now for everybody to see. And this becomes deadly for us when we see, look at the Covey swindle, the great Covey swindle problem. A major ally apologizes. Well, now she comes back for the toxic role. So she gets put in a position by Trump, and so her people are telling her, you better take a position to protect yourself, but show a little bit of contrition, and here she is with that. I don't have a problem with all this, just the way the dynamic is, because my view is we got to keep looking at the target. And all this is coming for a reason I can't figure out. We can surmise why it is, why they don't want the files to come out, with who the main people the blockages are. But this is a dynamic that gets set up in our country that we have to be very careful of. As I said, while we focus in on this, we're not watching what ICE is doing, what Border Patrol is doing, expanding nationwide tracking and tracing, bringing in the requirements, the biometrics that's going to be coming into your Siberian gulag token citizenship. Hardline Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has recently branded a tailor by President Donald Trump. U.S. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has apologized for her role in what she called toxic politics amid an escalating feud with the United States President Donald Trump. The Georgia lawmaker, long known for her radical conservative views and combative speeches, has been increasingly critical of Trump, whom she passionately defended in the past. On Friday, Trump accused Greene of veering to the far left and branded her a traitor. In an interview with CNN, State of the Union aired on Sunday, Greene said that while Trump's remarks had been hurtful, she was determined to end the fighting in politics. The most hurtful thing Trump said, which is absolutely untrue, is he called me a traitor, she said, warning that such a language can radicalize people and put her life at risk. I would like to say humbly, I'm sorry for taking part in the toxic politics. It's very bad for our country, she said, adding that the uptick in political violence, including the assassination of conservative organizer and podcaster Charlie Kirk, had prompted her to put down the knives in politics. Greene said she would continue to fight for the release of all remaining unredacted files related to disgraced financier and sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Trump has urged Republicans not to aid Democrats in spreading what he called the Epstein hoax, arguing that his opponents were seeking to undermine his presidency. Who is undermining his presidency, folks? If what's against him is lies, well, who is undermining his presidency with these attacks? Greene has also criticized USAID to Israel and Ukraine and claimed that Epstein may have been an Israeli agent. And there's more information about that coming up. Almost can't say that he wasn't, right? So here's the point. I appreciate about what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, says. It's about we're dividing the country by fighting. And this is exactly the point. So she's coming out pretty strong with that, I think, just in as far as trying to show that she's more reasonable and really focusing on returning quickly to focusing on the important matters. And I'm also talking to this just to point out, we're going to watch something in this little event that was pretty interesting. Quite astonishing, actually, when you look at what happened over this. Whether or not we see the Epstein files, how the government could come together on this one issue so unanimously is quite impressive. And what was done that is really unheard of in a way, relative to something, to show us that the government can do it. And one of the things I'll just broach right here before I keep going is they're attributing this thing that happened relative to this file and this discharge order was because the people gave them a bunch of grief. The people were vocal about wanting this information. And so this is a little bit another avenue I've spoken about, explained. If we can unite as people and start focusing on important matters, we can get them to act. And that's going to be maybe the model of how this works through. Another attack by the president, again, demeaning to the office in my mind. I guess everyone has their own opinion of it. But the way this thing works out, and we watch what goes on, it's not very good optics, as they might say now. But Rand Paul Jr., Trump throws more insults at Representative Massie. Asked about the Epstein files release, demented Donald replied with the usual, "Well, I don't want to talk about it. They're using Jeffrey Epstein as a deflection from the tremendous success that we're having as a party," Epstein's buddy claimed, as I'm reading from this Pravda. The point is that Trump calls Representative Massie Rand Paul Jr. without any reason and cause. He just calls you a name. Now, the way you protect yourself is that you're doing such good work. People see the good work, that's not going to stick. Again, who's causing the presidency to go down? Even if it was a hoax, it would be found out. And so there's much more going on here. The representation by this article, just a quick little response or reporting of this incident, shows the writer is now even have turned on Trump in the way he is handling this. And so this is showing again, as I questioned before, a president, whether he ever could or not, I don't know, but we're watching a drastic change from even the couple months before when he entered in, there was such a high regard for his capabilities, to be completely going the other way right now and insulting some major players, if you will, in the government that are known to be, by most people that study, they do have the interest of American people at heart. For as much as Representative Massie was condemned, he's the one that pushed this through to at least get a vote. And again, the process is very important to see how unusual this was, whether or not we get lines and lines of redacted information, which is going to say something else. Because I've said it before, it has nothing, there's the victims and they need to have justice, but we're looking at the usurpation of a government that's coming after us, we the people. And they're doing it through the infrastructure being modified and modernized that Trump is onshoring. All the same people doing this behind the scenes. So while we're watching this kerfuffle, that's still going on. You're watching his first stories I'd reported on. You're watching the Border Patrol, Department of Homeland Security, cinching up the system to keep track of everybody and justifying it, even though they outwardly wouldn't have any authority or jurisdiction over any one of us that are lawfully in the country, or Americans, if you will. Donald Trump has once again stated that everyone who talks about his connection with the accused human trafficking tycoon Jeffrey Epstein, who only wants to overshadow the successes of his administration. Mr. Trump, Representative Matthews expresses concern that the FBI investigation that you are demanding may be a smokescreen to block the declassification of remaining documents. Is that so? President answers, "Well, I don't want to talk about it because fake news like you, you're a terrible reporter, and fake news like you are constantly bringing it up to distract attention from the resounding successes of the Trump administration. A guy like Massie has a 6% approval rating in the polls right now. And we call him Rand Paul Jr. because he never votes for the Republican Party. So they're using Jeffrey Epstein as a distraction from the tremendous success that our party is having right now. Let me add to this. No, Massey's not. Massey has voted where he is supposed to vote, or at least he'll tell you, and I've seen. He votes against the Republican Party when it's being dumb. He's been pretty consistent on that. Pretty upstanding guy, from what I can tell, generally. I don't need to study these guys real hard. The guy's not stupid. And he prevailed on this on top of that. And whatever tremendous success is irrelevant to what was people want and what was supposed to happen in all these cases, actually. He refers to Massey's 6% approval rating. That's not true either. He calls him names, trying to refer to Senator Rand Paul. Rand Paul doesn't have a junior. Because both of them are contrary to a lot of what Trump wants to see, and they're not against his successes. So, again, this is just, he's becoming his own distraction. And this sets up a dynamic within this whole context of Trump doing what Trump does, and actually brings on, if you will, the hoax, that he is afeard of. But from the Department of Flip-Flopper-in-Chief, and no, this is not the department I can change my mind. This is closer to the office of the department I really don't have a clue what I'm doing. This guy must be a real joy to have drive you somewhere where we see Trump makes another U-turn on the Epstein file. So after he's called Marjorie Taylor Greene a traitor and calls Massey Rand Paul Jr., he flip-flops, does a massive U-turn on his travel, and the president has urged the House of Republicans to support the release of all documents, adding that he has nothing to hide. Now, where was Trump before on this then? The United States President Donald Trump has called for Republicans in the House of Representatives to vote in favor of releasing all the remaining redacted files related to the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Now, from the Department of I, Donald J. Trump, irrationally doth do protest too much, he has accused Democrats of weaponizing selected documents against him. But if this is true, why not immediately release all the files knowing the Democrats' cherry-picking would be exposed? Quote, House Republicans should vote to release the Epstein files because we have nothing to hide, Trump wrote in a post on Truth Social on Monday. Why did he call Marjorie Taylor Greene a traitor? When he then accused, putting her at risk now, again, don't forget about this part, he then accused Democrats of hyping up the case to distract the public from the real issues and from the successes of administration. Quote, the House Oversight Committee can have whatever they are legally entitled to. I don't care, the president said. Well, if he doesn't care, why the delay? Seriously, what is wrong with this guy? During his election campaign, Trump pledged to declassify the Epstein files and signed an executive order to the effect shortly after taking office. Let's look closely. He said he was going to declassify. That becomes a little bit of an issue coming in. In February, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi announced the release for the first phase of documents. However, key materials, including flight logs, client names, and contact lists, have remained under seal, refueling speculation about who could be implicated. So here's the problem with that. If it's a hoax, why is the evidence under seal? If it's not a hoax, Trump lied. And if it's not a hoax, and Kash Patel can find no evidence, as I think I heard him testify to in this congressional video clip I saw, why the continuing investigation or need to seal the evidence? Because this is now against the backdrop of a government corruption by covert interests, whether foreign or domestic, which we the people needs a review because multiple administrations have failed to do so and have become a national security threat. And anything deemed classified is potentially evidence of a cover-up of that overthrow or conspiracy to overthrow the government. Again, Blaze News did an investigation where the FBI couldn't find anything and they found something. All this needs to be turned over to we the people. We, with our reserved right to alter and abolish, should necessarily receive them without a question. And another report about that story, this time from the I Will Destroy MAGA, Tear My Support Base Asunder, and Alienate My Staunchest Supporters for Unnecessarily Withholding the Epstein Files Because They Are a Hoax and We Have Nothing to Hide Department. That agency name makes quite a plaque on an agency door, doesn't it? Trump urges Congress to approve release of Epstein files. We have nothing to hide. And I ask, who is we then? Who is we? With all the stuff he's been doing, who is we that we got nothing to hide that you've been trying to hide? Trump on Monday called on congressional Republicans to vote to release files on scandalous financier Jeffrey Epstein, declaring that his party has nothing to hide. Is the entire Republican Party we? Even those Republicans that have been forced to vote to release? Even the Republicans now defamed for insisting? So who is we, Republicans, actually? Why resort to defamation and other thuggish ugliness upon such an inconsequential thing? Or if it were a hoax, action by the Democrats. And what would be the hoax, actually? On the other hand, Mossad only targeted Republicans. Well, that couldn't be. Isn't it true Trump was Democrat when he first met Epstein? Now, beyond that, here again, we have a politician running through the crowd from behind to lead the band, after tripping and falling on his face, trying to go the wrong direction. Public interest in the Epstein case has resurfaced in the United States after Trump administration had failed to release new materials despite the Republicans' campaign promises to declassify the files. So whose fault is that? And I want to reiterate this. Public interest, I don't think this is government interest, this was the people voicing that they wanted this to be done. But because he is such a disrespectful disgrace on the matter of the indifference to the victims of Epstein et al., and to the failure of the FBI to do proper investigations that he caused delay to expose, which implicates his administration protecting the previous administrations, which brings up the latent point, the victimization and cover-up of the harm to the American people due to the undue foreign influence and the apparent lapdog Trump looks like to that foreign undue influence, and Trump's dismissive, disrespectful attitude toward this matter caused the need for two representatives to get the signatures to force a vote to release the files. But people are not happy with this irresponsible reticence and foot-dragging, and there is no explanation for it more than threats. Delay on its own is injustice. They supported Trump on the expectation of getting the promised justice, not further just us. Not releasing the files, however inconsequential, has been the distraction, not releasing the files. And yes, I understand the problem with the society of illiterate people looking on and the potential problem that need a life can cause. I'm seeing when at least 60% of my X feed evidences people that can't read, that make and promote false interpretations, at least relative to the information immediately presented, we're going to have some problems. And that's not counting the perception management bot issue. I've seen, though, about 20% that do seem to be able to read and understand, which I believe can more than offset the perceived harm to innocent people that might be merely mentioned in the files, which was Trump's initial hesitation before he brought up the STOPID hoax canard, if memory serves. He didn't want innocent people to have to deal with being guilty by mention or association out of context. and that incriminating association that can happen. And I can completely get all that. But like the JFK assassination, the roots on this appear to go deeper and go to the corruption in and of government well worse than what we might expect, or that those of us that now see the trap and threat government is and must coexist with for now. On top of all that, the energy wasted on we have nothing to hide of this hoax, but we'll fight you anyway, took valuable resources away from other pending matters, given there was ever a chance to make America great again. I mean, more than a slogan, it was created to be to dupe people. In fact, as soon as the last signature was obtained to force a vote, if Trump wasn't deceiving people, he should have just released everything. If nothing else, to end the distraction he causes and blames on the Democrats and his supporters, referring to them derogatorily and working against them politically, as if enemies, demeaning them, attacking others, Republicans who seek justice for the victims. Maybe the only thing being done right now to redeem government dysfunctionaries, even if a minuscule bit, whether or not we have nothing to hide. The appearance of these improprieties suggests further improprieties. Trump has become a walking, talking, self-inflicted wound. So Trump has nothing to hide, but he's going to force a vote and threaten his party members who are considering voting yes to release the Epstein files, which by some accounts points to Trump's foreign benefactors in chief, and is not the earmarks of an uncompromised, stable, and aware leader in control of his office, but far worse, no matter how this sordid affair is sliced. But instead of just releasing the Epstein files, because in all appearance of impropriety, Trump doing so removes the plausible deniability that Trump needs, and to be able to tell his foreign or domestically placed handlers, it wasn't me, I had no choice. Trump is now reported as saying, quote, House Republicans should vote to release the Epstein files. And here's yet another problem with Trump protesting too much. The victims are not a hoax, nor anything the Democrats caused subsequent to the promised release of the files, nor is the damage to the apparent trespass upon the proper function of government such that it could be, if not corrupted, a hoax. Congress is scheduled to vote on releasing this portion of the file this week. According to media reports, the vote could take place as early as Tuesday. Trump previously harshly criticized the few members of his party who supported their release. The U.S. president is suspected of ties with Epstein, who was accused of trafficking minors. On Sunday, Republican Congressman Thomas Massey said that the unreleased portion of the Epstein files contained the names of at least 20 prominent individuals who were potentially involved in the crimes but had not yet been investigated. Again, the FBI failed. It's time to turn it over to the people. My thought. The congressman expressed the opinion that Epstein's files likely did not implicate Trump. However, he believes that Trump's administration is reluctant to release these materials in an attempt to protect campaign donors. At the very least, I should say, those donors are affiliated to what? Beyond the Epstein files, however manipulated. Now do the JFK files. No, I mean everything. And any other evidence of governmental functioning-related matter not prosecuted within 10 years so people can finally see they can't trust people in government, either to not be corrupt or to stop the corruption known to exist, as we can see is supposed to happen at 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4. It's already written. This shouldn't be such a fight. There should be no argument on this. So people can decide whether caucusocracy posing as legitimate government suits them better than they can do for themselves, or whether government should be abolished altogether. And the classified document, national security issue loopholes are a thing otherwise Marjorie Taylor Greene wouldn't be concerned either. Representative Greene wonders if DOJ will release all the Epstein files after Congress action. And take note, she had the concerns before the vote, and correctly predicted the vote result. The real question regarding the release of these files on the case of late financier Jeffrey Epstein is whether the United States Department of Justice will release them or whether they will remain classified because of the ongoing investigation, Republican Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene said on Tuesday ahead of a House vote. The U.S. House of Representatives is set to vote and release of the remaining files later in the day. President Donald Trump previously called on congressional Republicans to vote the release of the files, as his party has nothing to hide. Then why the three-ring circus around releasing the files? Unless it is, Trump can now say to his handlers, I didn't release the files. The legislators did. Remember, this, when it comes in the vote, it's a veto-proof vote, so he's stuck. But he gets to now, by delaying all this and by forcing the issue, by not immediately, he can just say to whomever's behind the scenes, it wasn't me, they forced it. On Monday, the president said that he would sign a bill that mandates the Department of Justice to release all the existing documents on the case, provided it passes through Congress. The real test will be, will the Department of Justice release the files, and will it remain tied up in investigations? Well, Massey answers that question, pointing to the limitation upon using that excuse of an ongoing investigation to get some files from being released to only those that are appropriate, and then only temporarily using the excuse. So that's already written into that bill. But that's really not the hang-up. Will the CIA release the files? Will a federal judge in New York release the information that needs to come out? And will the list of names that these women privately hold come out? Green told reporters during a press conference with survivors of Epstein's abuse. She added that the House vote is likely to be unanimous. In 2019, Epstein was charged in the U.S. with sex trafficking of minors, facing up to 40 years in prison and a conspiracy to commit such trafficking. Prosecutors said he sexually abused dozens of underage girls between 2002 and 2005, paying them cash and using some to recruit others, with some victims as young as 14. In July 2019, a Manhattan court denied him bail, but later that month he died by suicide in his cell, but Epstein didn't kill himself, I don't think. Public interest in the Epstein case resurfaced in the United States after the Trump administration failed to provide new materials despite the Republicans' campaign promises to declassify files. A barrage of criticisms, including from supporters, descended on Trump after the FBI and the Justice Department issued a joint statement asserting that Epstein had not engaged in blackmailing influential individuals and had no client list. So are we the people trumped again? So notice Marjorie Taylor Greene only mentioned ongoing investigations, not classified material that apparently still exists, which Trump was supposed to declassify, or other materials that are being covered by the national security loophole. Nor did she mention that there are victims of crimes, but that we don't have the FBI's list of the perpetrators of those crimes, nor a good explanation for the lack of prosecution in a country where a ham sandwich are serving life in prison. Or was that bologna? Bologna? And why was a loophole for apparent treason left in the bill? My inquiry remains unanswered to that and is different than what Massey answered Marjorie Taylor Greene about, hiding behind the continuing investigation, which Massey pointed to the limitation that's already in that bill. And towards my meager efforts to establishing justice in my first inquiry to Representatives Massey and Representative Ro Khanna, who co-authored that bill, the discharge petition, as it was called then, very interesting avenue they took, because of the apparent loopholes in the discharge petition, whose ostensible purpose is to extricate the Epstein files from the clutches of the appearance of, if not wrongdoers, the inept. I ask, how much gets held back due to classification or national security? And I have not received an answer. And yet those loopholes are sitting right in there. So again, just wondering what we're looking at. But I'm still intrigued by the process. And if they can do what they did with this bill, with all the noise and rigmarole around it, maybe this is a model on how we the people can start getting our voices in gear, directed to the right place, and start telling these people that we're fed up and they need to act along the lines of what happened in this case relative to this discharge petition and the unanimous nature of it, as they did the will of the people and what was perceived as justice or to do justice, whether or not it gets fulfilled, and we get to watch that as well coming. U.S. Senate, after all this kerfuffle and the vote in the Congress, the U.S. Senate, or the House, the U.S. Senate adopts the bill to release the documents on the Epstein case. This is another big deal. The way it got adopted, not even a comment, just voted on and quickly, immediately. The U.S. Senate has adopted a bill that will push the Department of Justice to release all the unclassified documents related to Jeffrey Epstein's case, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said. I just asked the unanimous consent to approve the Senate bill and release the Epstein files. There was no objection, Schumer wrote on X. Schumer also said that the bill would be adopted immediately after being received from the House of Representatives. This thing went in and out. It's almost pre-approved going through. So this is a very, very powerful thing that went on. Very cool to watch. It shows things can happen if they rise the ire of the people, I suppose. But those hoax Epstein files are such a huge, huge hoax, right, that the Senate agreement, without any modification to the House version, is apparently so problematic. Delinquent Republican Speaker Johnson just said that not all the files can be released because of national security. My very same question to Massey that still is unanswered at this point. So I'm not going to point out the elephant in the room, but someone wanna or can you explain what human trafficking, child abuse, sexual abuse, or extortion or coercion of victims, at the least those that survived, has to do with national security? That any of the files are of any national security interest and classified at all? If I only have one word to describe it, of what legitimate national interest is pedophilia in this issue? And why are the perpetrators a classified subject matter? And additionally, security for which nation exactly? Or did I just brush up against the woolly mammoth in the room? And where national security can't be used by the traitors to evade detection of their treachery, how can national security trump the need of we the people to know those in government who have usurped or are now usurping the establishment, that it does not deprive the people of the reserved power to alter or abolish the government for the fiduciary dereliction of duty and obligation by the officials at all levels of government to keep the republic? Isn't any withholding of any evidence which may tend to obfuscate the detection of the internal overthrow of the United States, the merest appearance of impropriety, sufficient probable cause, and an act of treason itself? And those in government doing nothing to stop it are required by 18 U.S.C. Section 3 or 4, are accessories to treason after the fact, aren't they? What say you, Speaker Johnson? And Trump? You had a problem with discharge petition after it was passed too, didn't you? And despite throwing your hands up because you ultimately do not have the persuasive power you claim to have to influence Congress. What say you about your extreme dissatisfaction with Speaker Johnson not running successful obstruction to the contents of the petition to cover for the appearance of treason and being covered up by your administration? And really, what's all the noise about? You can always not sign to pass the discharge petition, right? So what all is going on that you made an issue out of it, if it were a hoax, as you say? And why not sign then? Then you said, what the heck? Vote to release the files. Why didn't you do any of that? Why didn't you just release the files then? Why did you run interference to protect a couple of innocent people, but the whole evidence of which would also exonerate? Because clearly that excuse doesn't fly either. Or is it you're really that dumb not to know or play the royal flush you claim to be able to make to clean the swamp? Or are you a party to it, just another compromised swamp creature? And on that last point, what makes more sense is, while the clowns perform, the files you said were going to be released and declassified, including those you claimed were cherry-picked by the Democrats, that immediate release of the whole of the files would have exposed and exonerated you and the others anyway, were being whitewashed, sanitized of their unspoken dark heart, weren't they? And that your go ahead and vote yes change of heart was the all clear call that the cleanup crew was done sanitizing all the files that might incriminate anyone or anything. Oh, and if you never heard it before, I don't ask questions, because those behind the woodshed, we know, we won't be told of the usurpacious occupiers in our midst acting against us. So we rely on the international law adopted from the Lincoln-era work of Francis Lieber through his Lieber Code, advising, we knows them when we sees them, essentially restating the principle, you knows them by their fruits and nuts, and why the mere appearance of impropriety is enough, which all taken together implies, at the very least, if you can't handle the hoax of the Epstein files or release of all the JFK files or doing other acts that a competent office secretary can, you're not capable of handling more weighty matters obstructing America being great again, or bringing peace as you promised, or more than a campaign rhetoric, ensuring peace and maintaining tranquility, establishing justice. Right, Mr. President of a constitutional republic? And even if it is that you'd be the first president to do so, in at least our lifetimes, to hear the broadcast, for that all-important dose of reality behind the woodshed. And on that, Congress swiftly acted to force the release of the Epstein files. As I was bringing the leading up, you may have already heard it. Trump agrees to sign the bill. This is a synopsis of the whole process. Both the House and the Senate acted decisively Tuesday to pass a bill to force the Justice Department to publicly release its files on the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, a remarkable display of approval for an effort that had struggled for months to overcome opposition from President Donald Trump and Republican leadership. Sounds like they were the problem. They were the distraction. They were the delay. But this is the point I'm getting at about talking about this remarkable display. It really was pretty interesting to watch how this thing came about. When a small partisan group of House lawmakers introduced a petition in July to maneuver around Speaker Mike Johnson's control of the House floor, it appeared a long-shot effort, especially as Trump urged his supporters to dismiss the matter as a hoax. But both Trump and Johnson failed to prevent the vote. The president in recent days bowed to political reality, saying that he would sign the bill, and just hours after the House vote, senators agreed to approve it unanimously, skipping a formal roll call. And Trump does sign. In the end, only one lawmaker in Congress opposed the bill, Representative Clay Higgins, a Louisiana Republican, who is a fervent supporter of Trump, was the only nay vote in the House vote's 427-1 tally. The bill forces the release within 30 days of all files and communications related to Epstein, as well as any information about the investigation into his death in a federal prison. I need to interject because there seems to be some questions. Why wait 30 days? You have to give some reasonable time for the government to produce the documents. And I suspect if they hadn't, there would have been a complaint about it, and it could have had a longer time to go forward. Just give them the 30 days. They give that in any kind of a FOIA anyway. So I don't know why people ask that question. But it is being asked, why not immediately? Well, they have to have them to put them out. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't know why there's an issue with it. Anyway, it was again, people will ask for all kinds of stuff, and you have to kind of parse through what's reasonable. And so it's reasonable it would take them 30 days to amass the files and get them to the internet, at least get to the internet. It would allow the Justice Department to redact information about Epstein's victims or continuing federal investigations, but not information due to embarrassment, reputational harm, or political sensitivity. And so we don't see the word national security, though that has been brought up a number of times. That's another loophole. So I'm waiting for my answer. I don't know that I'll get it. I did respond to Massey on a different thing. I said, you didn't give me my answer, but time will tell. We'll see whether or not this becomes something that everyone got together to agree to, and we'll see if maybe Congress can function once correctly. And so that these loopholes are a hole you can drive the White House and the Capitol building through, but so much so, you know, we'll take what we can get at this point just to watch whether or not we can see a way that Congress can start functioning again. And in my mind, it's not really to embrace and this system. It's to out it, to continue to get more and more evidence for people to see It can't be really be fixed. We've got serious problems, folks. We got some very serious problems that have to be fixed. And we, the people so-called, are going to have to be integrated enough to figure that out on what to do. Otherwise, as I keep reporting the other side of this, that system is still moving along, and it's building a prison that will permanently confine us. This has been BTWRLM 655, and I'll be with you next week with Tech Tips for Nature Willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing free. Pull up a chair, lean in close. Lessons to learn, dose by dose. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Hal's words ignite. Hide a cantaloupe fast, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airways burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes. Behind the woodshed, beating drums. House voice, a beacon. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.